you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's November 19th, 2012. And as mentioned, this past weekend and this past week, we're having a series of studies with various hymns. And in the studio with me is Joey Kroll. You're familiar with his voice. He's on each and every Thursday on Mark and Friends and also has a Sunday program called Sunday Worship, heard on all four of our frequencies. And Jason Schiffo, Pastor Jason Schiffo, is also in the studio. You hear him on Wednesdays and with our series on the Book of Ruth. The crowd is going wild. So stay with us throughout this whole week. We're going to study a number of hymns, some that you're very familiar with. Hopefully we'll give some insights and some background on why they were written or what the intent was, the story behind the story. For instance, today we're going to talk about, I believe, one of Joey's favorite, yeah, As the Deer. We may cover Christ the Solid Rock. And then on Wednesday and Thursday, probably God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen and the doxology, maybe on Thanksgiving Day. And then Friday, we'll talk about Who Is He in Yonder Stall, as on Friday we transition to Christmas music all weekend long. During the Thanksgiving weekend, we'll have Christmas music on our four frequencies, and then I'll start interspersing more and more Christmas music in the days ahead as we head into December. But let us be your home on the radio dial for Christmas music. So Joey, as we talked about this a few weeks ago, of having this series of special hymns, you said As the Deer was one of your favorites. Tell us a little about it.
Well, you know, I thought that song came out back in like the 1600s because it just has that pretty melody to it and so forth. So I was doing some research on it. I was going through all the encyclopedias, websites, Google.com, and that song actually came up like 25 years ago. I was doing some research on that, and when you hear the song, just the melody, and, you know, As the Deer panteth for the water, you think, okay, the person who wrote that must have been really in tune with God. They must have been at the perfect place. Everything must have been lined up. I mean, they must have gelled with God, so to speak. You know, they must have been a pastor or a pastor's son or whatever. But actually, the person who wrote this is crazy. The person who wrote this was like totally far from God. I mean, he had, I think it came out back in '80s. 81 or whatnot. So he was in a major car accident. So you think, you know, he would find God in that. No, after having a car accident, he was going through this depression or something. So he went down, I think it was to like Texas, to chase this young lady. And she said, I don't want nothing to do with you. I think a lot of us can relate to that. But so she wanted nothing to do with him. And he was in the middle of Texas, so far from home. And, you know, if anybody in here ever been to Texas or anybody listening, they know it's hot. I mean, the winters, it's hot down there. In the summertime, it's hot. So this was dead heat of summer. And so you would think, okay, he didn't get this woman that he was chasing. So he's going to go back home. Well, he didn't have enough money to go back home, so he was stuck, and a friend told him, you know what, to really survive, just drink a lot of water. So he, I think for a couple of weeks straight, drank water. I didn't have no money for food, and that's where God spoke to him. You know, as the deer panteth for the water, you're going to have that same desire for me. And in the midst of this man's brokenness, He came over the flow of his heart, came up with some of these words. And I just, I don't know about you guys, but I think of the prodigal son. And I love that text where it says, when he was in the pig's pen, and when he came to his senses. And I think sometimes we need to come to our pig pen experience, to come to our senses. God, I got it all under control. I know what I'm doing. Just lay off. And God will allow us to eat some pig food, so to speak, to realize how much we really need him in our life. And that's a song, As the Deer, came from a heart that was crying out for God in the midst of brokenness, in the midst of a pig pen. And I think all of us in here can really relate to that. So that's why I'm choosing this song today.
Thank you.
Jason, how about you reading the lyrics?
All right. It's a praise and worship song, and Joey was right. Written about 1981 by Martin Nystrom, Jay Nystrom, a native of Seattle, Washington, and based loosely on Psalm 42 and verse 1. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs for you. You alone are my heart's desire. I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, as I long to worship you. You're my friend and you're my brother, even though you are a king. And I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. Just look at this. I mean, think about the words here. It's interesting because sometimes I think we only ascribe one thing to God. We ascribe divinity, or we ascribe deity. We ascribe just one characteristic to God. In the words of this hymn, the writer here, Martin Nystrom, he ascribes so many different things. He says, God is my shield and he's my strength. So he's my protector, and yet he allows me to go through. He's my strength. He's my heart's desire, so he's the one I'm in love with. And from those things out comes worship. But then he goes on to say, you're my friend and you're my brother. So you're somebody I can reach out to and somebody I can walk along with. He says, but you're always still king. And he says, I love you more than anything. And then he even goes on to the earthly things. You know, you're more than gold and silver. You're the only one who can satisfy, and you're the only joy giver. And then it's funny because of the background that you gave, that he went down to chase this girl, that this girl was obviously the apple of his eye. This girl was the apple or the center of his affections, because he chased after her. And I chased after my wife, so I know I left Illinois and went down to Pensacola, Florida, sold everything I owned and gave it away so I could chase this girl that I was in love with, because she was the apple of my eye. So for him to reconcile his whole world and allow God to become the apple of his eye is pretty huge.
Yeah.
I mean, and it speaks to his journey.
And he probably wouldn't have found that if his heart wasn't broken.
Well, I agree with you. I think that just like the prodigal son, and then he came to his senses. And I think that often we have to do that. And it's interesting that, you know, the prodigal son is a good Jewish boy and he's tending to pigs, which would have made him
yes.
ceremonially unclean.
Yeah.
It would not have been something for a good Jewish boy to be doing. Not only that, but he was eating the, you know, less than the pods that the pigs would eat, these cocoa beans, they say. But that he came to his senses at his lowest of low points. And I think a Jew reading the prodigal son story goes, man, is he low. He's with the pigs.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's hit rock bottom. Not only has he hit rock bottom, but he's probably bounced a few times. And from there, he came to his senses. And I love that in the prodigal son story, too. And Joey, I mean, let's hover about this.
Well, let's continue hovering, but let's play the song.
Sure.
So we can talk a little more about it.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. To you alone may I sing.
You know, one thing about the song, as you both have mentioned, but I like what you shared, Joey, that prodigal son. Mm-hmm. But one of my favorite things about the prodigal story, we always refer to it as the prodigal son, but Lloyd John Ogilvie wrote a book. It's called Autobiography of God, and he calls it the parable of the prodigal God. Because it's really all about how God demonstrates extravagant love, outrageous love, you know, because the representative of God is that father running to his son that returns. And really, he's the prodigal, because the word prodigal, I think, is like extravagant, outrageous, unlimited. And so God's the one that's like the initiator. Yes, the son came to his senses, I agree, and he turned to God. But God's the one that was seeking after him, looking out each night. And then when he sees his son returning, he runs to him. And I've always loved that concept, the prodigal God that we see.
Well, and it's two worlds. I mean, the way that the scripture opens there, I mean, it says there was a man who had two sons. So right away it speaks to the human element. Mm-hmm. But then note, after that, it becomes the father. So right away, Jesus uses very intentional language. He lands it in their backyard. It's a man with two sons. So right away, fatherly pride, patriarchal pride kind of mm-hmm. jumps in there. Mm-hmm. But then Jesus ramps it up and starts to refer to this man as the father, the father, the father. Because he's hammering home what God is like. And this, I mean, the prodigal son on so many levels. It was a national anthem, I think that the Jewish people would have heard, and they would have known intimately what a return was all about. Mm-hmm. And so there's this return that happens. I mean, we could take this Christologically and look at, you know, when he came to his senses. I mean, every single one of us at some point came to our senses, and the Father ran towards us and wrapped his arms around us and had a barbecue and got out the rings and the sandals and all the best mm-hmm. things. And when he did it, I mean, how many of us who, when we accepted Jesus, there was these people around us who began to mutter, well, what do you mean? I mean, I've been working hard too. I've been doing a lot of things. I mean, you're going to show extravagant love on this guy? I mean, so this prodigal son, like they say about scripture all the time, it's a refracted diamond. And when you hold it up and you turn it, the light passes through it differently. And each piece of scripture should have at least 25 to 30 layers of things happening to it. There's a depth to it we can't even understand. And we can choose to read it just flatly, or we can choose to dive into the deeps and see what's happening below. But the prodigal, I agree with both of you. I think it's an and both. The prodigal son scripture is about God. It's about us. It's about national pride. It's about a return. It's about what God is like, what God will do. I mean, it's a multitude of things.
Hey, and Joey, getting back to the song, because it's one of your favorites, mm-hmm. as the deer pants for water. How have you seen yourself panning after God, seeking mm-hmm. after him,
wow.
drawing on his strength? Because you produce a program each and every
yep.
Thursday, and you draw on God for strength,
oh,
for
absolutely.
Guidance, for leading.
You know, a couple of years ago, I got married, and then reality hit, like, wow, I'm in charge of...
And then he came to his senses.
Yeah. This is crazy, and I'm just overwhelmed because, you know, as somebody who, you know, kind of studies the Word, I mean, there's a lot of responsibilities that men have in the home. It's not about power, 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 but there's a lot of responsibilities, and it's like, Lord, you're entrusting me to all of this stuff. This is kind of scary. I'm kind of nervous. I mean, is this really your will? Is this what, I mean, you know, I can be single for the rest of my life and then, you know, have more money too, you know? No, I'm kidding aside. But I was really nervous. I was really nervous, and God reminded me of the psalm. It says, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. God not only tells us that he is our help, but he gives us his resume, the maker of the heavens and earth. So that for me, in the midst of when my knees were shaking that early Saturday morning when I was getting ready to see my soon-to-be wife, God reminded me that, you know what, Joey, your help comes from me. You're not going to do this on your own. You're not going to do this by the flesh, but your help is going to come through me, and I'm going to lead you as you lead your family. Mm-hmm. So that's how I totally relate to that.
And I know there's that Jewish custom, at least the Old Testament concept, where that first year after being married, you're not to engage into,
yeah.
I can't remember the exact verse, but it's like 1 year you're to take off and to really build your family, build that unity, not like volunteer. You don't go off to war. You really connect together with the unit, with your family, with your wife. Mm. I can't remember where that's at, but I know it's a verse that some pastors counsel on, like for the next year, don't volunteer. Don't get caught up in all these activities. You really got to become one flesh.
Yeah, and I think about, too, in terms of marriage, you know, I can't remember his name now, the writer who says that our marital relationship is probably as close to our relationship mm-hmm. with God. It's the only earthly relationship we have that mirrors our relationship with God. We have promise and covenant. We have sanctification. We have agape love. Mm-hmm. And then you could just even take the Dear Pants song here. I mean, as you were saying that, Joey, I was just looking at the verses again, and we could take them.
Yeah, you're the only one with the verses in front of you.
It's my song.
Sure, and you got my Bible, so it's like.
but I always want to, and I do this at our men's breakfast. I do this a lot of times. I like to take scripture and then contextualize it so that we can personalize it and understand it. But I mean, these scriptures could easily be for a husband and a wife too. The lyrics for this song, you know, you alone are my strength and my shield. I mean, I think my wife thinks that I'm her strength and her shield. You know, God ultimately is it, but I act in that place too in our relationship, and that I'm probably, hopefully, her heart's desire, the apple of her eye. I don't think she longs to worship me, but I think she longs to worship with me. You know, and you just go down. I mean, I'm her friend, and I'm also her brother, you know, in arms and brother in the Lord. And, you know, that she sees me as more important than gold and than silver. And I think that based on your experience and the lyrics of this song, I mean, it's very much like our relationship. And, you know, thank you for sharing that about, you know, when the day you married Aubrey, and let's give a shout out to Aubrey too. That way, after your first comment, you'll still have somewhere to sleep tonight.
She'll let you return for the remainder of these programs this week.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, right now she says you want to see No Money, and she's on her way to the mall. But you know, I think that we've got to remember that too, because, you know, those things that we have in relationship with God and in worship with God and that we should bring into our relationship as men. I think, you know, we should allow our wives and our kids the opportunity to become more and more sanctified in their relationship with God and with Christ through things that we do. My kids will become more sanctified by me studying the Word with them and me showing them the path and the way they should go. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Teaching them what it means to worship God and to do those things. And so I think that's a great point to make. And sometimes when we sing these hymns, I think that we sing them out. You know what I mean? We sing them like external. Mm-hmm. We get in there and we worship, and worshiping God who is here and somewhere else at the same time. But I think that sometimes we don't take these hymns and internalize them, because many, if not all, of these old hymns are really scriptural. They're based on God's word. I mean, there's such depth and power to them. And we ought to internalize them and learn from their lessons, too, as we sing. I think sometimes we sing outward and we forget to sing inward. And there's a musician, and I can't remember his name, but he said that. He says, you can sing outward and change others, but when you allow yourself to hear and sing inward, you change yourself also. The music changes you.
Well, thank you, Joey, for sharing As the Deer with us, and Pastor Jason giving some insights. We'll continue the Havarim in the next few days. And remember, Friday we transition to Christmas music, so hopefully you can join us on one of our four frequencies as we honor the Lord Jesus Christ during this holiday season. Well, I'm going to close with another version of As the Deer, and our prayer and desire for you is that you would draw close to God today, that you would allow this song to minister to your heart, to your soul, and that you'll continue to tune in all week long as we'll Havarim, and we'll talk a little more about that tomorrow, and what Havarim is, and what we're going to be doing as we go through these various hymns the next few days. So thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Joey Kroll and Pastor Jason Shippo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You my shield, to you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple